it's like, ugh, it's the double-edged sword. Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall wore his act thin pretty much everywhere he went. The Broncos suspended him. Oh, that was the end of that relationship. How many different teams did that guy play with? Keyshawn Johnson, remember him? Oh, the Bucs deactivated him. Keyshawn, get me the damn ball. Wrote a book, terrible book. And Keyshawn, vastly overrated. Monte Ellis. Now, this is a little, that doesn't really necessarily insubordination, but I think him and the next guy I'm going to mention, they lied. And the organization was heated. And people that are saying that voice, they don't like it. I don't care if you like my voice or not. I find it funny. And the people behind the glass find it funny. Step your game up or change the channel. I mean, seriously, this is for young cats. All right. If you crusty and old, CNN's on. Go flip to that. All right. We're out here to have fun. But Monte Ellis lied about the scooter. Oh, my goodness. Tore the ankle up. Team suspended him. They wanted the money back. Not a good look. Similarly, Jeff Kent. I was washing my pickup truck. No, you weren't, Jeff. You were doing a wheelie in a freaking Harley. You were doing a wheelie in a Harley, Jeff Kent. And the team wanted to reprimand him, and rightfully so. But that led to a divorce, just like it did with Monte. It didn't happen right away, but it happened eventually. And then let's get to the good ones. Chris Sale. Chris Sale, one of the best pitchers in the game. Chicago White Sox had him, and he didn't like the jerseys. I'm going to cut him up. Dude, what is wrong with you, bro? He went into the locker room and cut up every single one of the jerseys? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That led to his divorce with the White Sox. Oh, but he won a ring. So you could still be a great player and do dumb stuff and alienate yourself from the franchise. And then let's get to Latrell Sprewell. Oh, my goodness. Spree for three. My favorite. Alabama's own. I love Sprewell. Sprewell choked out his coach. Now, Draymond did not choke out Steve Kerr, but reports are it got a little physical, you know? And all of these guys, what's the common thread? Not only were they insubordinate, not only did they get suspended, but eventually the team moved on from them. And I get it. In sports, the majority of players get moved on from. But these are a lot of really good players. Really good players. I mean, the worst player of this list, maybe Keyshawn or Brandon Marshall, they're damn good. Look at their career. Look at their career. So let's go to YD in San Francisco. YD, step right up, no waiting. Give me your Draymond Green thoughts.
Yeah, so here's the thing, man. I can't take it no more. Listen, Draymond was wrong for what he did. But KD was wrong, too.
Agreed.
You don't come on a team and make it about you, slapping your chest. He didn't even run down to see if he could get a pass from Draymond. He's sitting up there pouting.
I agree. Totally
agree. Now look,
agree.
Man. What's that?
I said I totally agree, YD. Keep going.
Yeah, he's sitting up there pouting, and he could have ran down, and he could have got a kick to him. But no, he wanted to pout. So here's the thing. Then Draymond gets suspended, and they take a game check from him. So we're going to – KD was leaving anyway. Get ready for that.
I know.
He was leaving anyway. Now we're going to lose Draymond because Draymond's saying, you know, hey, they ain't showing me no loyalty. I done played center for them at 6'7".
Yep.
And they ain't showing me no loyalty. They take a game check. He's looking at that, taking money out of his family's mouth.
I know. And now he's
going to... So look at this. I looked at the bench when KD and Draymond was going back and forth. Guess who was sitting in the middle? Klay Thompson.
I love Klay.
Klay Thompson is saying, man, I just want to play ball. I don't want all this.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you, YD. You're right. And look, when it comes to KD, both things can be true. There is a legend in this market, Ralph Barbieri. He said, two things can be equally true. And he's right. KD is super emo soft. I'm talking like soft serve vanilla, okay? You know, like the swirly swirl, right? And he's a brilliant basketball player who's going to be gunning for the all-time record for points in the NBA. It's coming. It's coming. I don't know what the Warriors do. I want to hear what Kel in Hayward says about what the Warriors should do with Draymond and Durant. Step right up, no waiting, Kel.
Look, they can take a note from the Miami Heat, man, on how Dwayne Wade took a seat back and told LeBron that he was the leader of this team. You know, it was everybody's comment on Durant saying that he was on something and said he's not the leader of the team. Well, he got to say that because people are sensitive.
Yes.
Take it out of context. So he says that. But this dude is the real. He got ice water in his veins, man. They would not have a championship for the last 2 years if it wasn't for him.
Thank you. That pull up on
the ownership group know that.
I agree.
That's why he went to break ground at the new arena, and he just had a tour of it last week. The ownership group is riding with KD, man, and I think everybody know that. Only one ain't riding with KD is all these fake-ass Warrior fans.
I agree, Kel. Stay on the line because you're preaching to the choir here. That commercial that LeBron and Draymond did in that car with, is it Kerry Champion? I feel like, I don't know what, like, what? He didn't even need to do that. Everybody knows he's the man. He pulled up and hit a dagger in LeBron's face. And I know we won 4-1 in that finals. I don't think that they get through last year specifically and the year before even without Kevin Durant. Kel, what do you think?
They don't because Steph Curry went cold, and KD kept him alive.
Exactly.
And at the end of the game, you could see Curry trying to get the MVP, but he couldn't because KD won it already.
Absolutely. Kel, you call.
That's the game.
Kel, I love it. And this is the part where I get frustrated. I really appreciate you calling in, Kel. This is the part I get frustrated with Warrior fans. Do you know the NBA? Do you know what you're watching? Yes, Dre's a Warrior legend, but in the perspective of the NBA, Kevin Durant is so much higher on the pecking order now in his past and into the future than Draymond will ever be. That doesn't mean that you have to, you know, just cater directly to Kevin Durant at all times, at all costs, and he could do no wrong. No, there's a happy medium. There's a happy medium. And we're going to talk 49ers. I know a lot of people are warriored out. We're going to continue to talk Warriors, but at 9:30, we're going to get into the 49ers. Give me Josh in Oakland. Josh, step right up, no waiting. What you got on Draymond Green?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, in order for this team to stay together for the next 2 years, the only thing I think we can hope is that everybody is looking for the prospect of four-peating, right?
Yes.
With Kevin Durant, I think that, you know, Kevin Durant wants to be with the Warriors. I really do. Kevin Durant is a hooper, you know, and the Warriors can pay him the most money and offer him the best hooping situation. He a two-time finals MVP, 1-2 here, and on top of that, they move into a new arena. The problem is, by him staying, he's essentially kicking off the man that recruited him and brought him in and Draymond Green, which is why I don't think he's committing like that. In terms of Draymond Green, Draymond is real, and reals don't recognize real, and he's seeing the reality of his situation. Ain't nobody in the league going to appreciate Draymond
Thank you.
The way we are. The market is not going to be
Thank you.
Like that.
Thank
so
you, Josh.
Would just sit back. The Warriors would just sit back and let his contract situation play out and say, go test it. Go see. And if Kevin Durant stay, how much of a snake he going to feel like if he kick off Draymond Green? That's his dilemma.
Yes.
Okay? And KD also. And he's not going to feel complete with the Warriors until we lose. You understand?
Yeah.
Once we lose, and if he stays long enough, he'll lose with us and then have to climb that mountain.
Yep.
And then all that talk will die.
Like, yes.
Your whole thing is, they say you jump into a bandwagon. So stay, lose with the team, and then climb back up.
Yep.
This is the best situation for him. But in staying, guess what? Him and Draymond Green are friends.
Yes.
So, and so when that happens, he's kicking him off. How do you think he feel? And if he go anywhere else, it's like, what other situation he got?
Josh.
For him, I think the Warriors. Thanks for taking my call.
And Josh, call anytime. Give that man. Woo! Woo! Back-to-back fire calls right there. Back-to-back fire calls. That's the real Warrior fans I'm talking about. Old school that understand the NBA, the Warriors' place in history, Kevin Durant's place in the hierarchy of the NBA, and Draymond's place within our hearts as Warrior fans. And he nailed it. He brought up Draymond is never going to get the love or value as a player here that he will anywhere else. He won't get it anywhere else. It's here. And he knows that. And he brought up something about Kevin Durant and the locust theory. And we're going to get a little talk about that when we come back on the other side. Keep staying with me, baby. Butcher Shop, 957, The Game.
Now back to The Butcher Shop on 957, The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
Bay Area, I know you're chilling at home because you're not supposed to be outside. Thank you for listening to 95.7 The Game, The Butcher Shop. Yes, 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 I am Joe Shasky. We got Joe Fan at 9:30, 49ers. We will get into the 49ers, but the streets are talking, and they want to talk Draymond. They want to talk Kevin Durant. They want it bad. They want it bad. People are so frustrated, and I think here's the thing. We're disappointed. We're disappointed in Draymond and Kevin Durant. Just grow up, you two. Figure it out. You're the best for the both of each other. Don't you realize it? Your best situation is being grouped together.
I don't know, man. You know, Steve Kerr had a great, great conversation with Damon Bruce tonight. And I just kind of want to dissect some of the things that he said.
And he started talking about how long the NBA season was.
You never know what's going to happen in this league. And, you know, long seasons, 82 games. Our seasons have stretched to 9 months, you know, the last 4 years. So much can happen on so many different levels, and you just got to ride it out and move forward.
I mean, he's so right. We're not even at Thanksgiving. Guys, they're going to be playing basketball until July. They've been playing basketball into July and in Olympic years. Into August. How many years in a row? I mean, the emotional drainage that has been going on the core four guys. How do you even quantify it? How do you even quantify it? All of us are saying, well, they just got to bring Steph Curry back because he's the greatest deodorant.
Well, having played with Tim, there's something incredibly special about a player who can be so dominant as a player on the court and so humble off the floor. And the tone that sets is remarkable, and it just sort of solves a lot of issues. And there aren't many guys like that, to be honest. And Steph reminds me so much of Tim in that regard. We had plenty of drama in San Antonio. You didn't hear about it very often because Tim would usually sort of resolve things behind the scenes just with the force of his personality. And I feel like Steph's the same way, you know. And so, you know, it's a huge advantage to have somebody like that leading your team. And Steph's going to help us, you know, get through what we're going through right now.
I mean, he's so right. They need a healthy, emotionally ready Steph Curry. And I think that's one of the things that we just don't know. Like, what is this injury he's got right now? Is it just a groin? Is it a sports hernia? Oh, please don't be a sports hernia. I mean, have you guys ever hurt your groin? When you hurt your groin, you feel like you're back, and then you go to, like, really test it out. Like I would say, stretch out to try to get a double. And then you round first, and you go, uh-oh, and you feel it pull again. And you're like, yeah, I won't be able to put on pants for a couple weeks. But you know what? I'm worried. But Steve Kerr is telling me, yeah, maybe I should pump the brakes.
What you're seeing right now is not what you're going to see, you know, for most of the season. But it's inevitable that teams have to go through, you know, different adversity. And right now this is sort of the confluence of injuries and some emotional stuff that happened on the floor. And it's all hitting at once, you know, and along with the schedule getting tougher. So we're in this situation. We're not going to be in it forever. But, you know, for right now, it's not going to be easy. And we've got to dig our way out of it.
I mean, they're going to have to dig their way out of it for sure. And it starts with not just the core four. And I think this is one of the hidden nuances of the Warriors. We just expect, oh, dude, these guys are going to carry us. They're going to carry us forever. I'm looking at Iggy. I'm paying you $16 million. You held out for the big bag. Not the little bag, the big bag. Sean Livingston, is this your last year in the NBA? I love you, bro. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm worried. I'm worried about them having all of the components
like Steph said, to dig themselves out. I don't know. But Steve continued to go on, and he was talking about the experience of the Warriors.
This team has all the components to dig our way out of it. You know, the character, the talent, the togetherness, the history. So long term, I have no doubt we're going to be fine. But I'm also not under the illusion that this is just going to be resolved in a day and we're going to go back to winning every game easily. It doesn't happen that way. It's going to take some work.
And you know what kind of hurts me is that they started the year off so great. Like, I was like, ooh, Steph's coming back for that MVP. This is that statement season, you know? That season, he's like, yeah, you know what? I know KD's here, but I'm the dog. I am the top dog. And it started off great. And I said to myself at the beginning of the year, I was like, oh, they're so loaded. They don't need Boogie till April. And now I'm like, Boogie can't come quicker. Like, they need Boogie immediately. Well, who would have thought that? I need a SOS. Get me Boogie. By the way, Boogie looks like Master P in a 1998 rap video on a yacht. The glasses, the coat, the everything. I mean, wow. Unbelievable. Steve Kerr continued to go on, though, and he's basically talking about the team's resolve. Give me that one.
I think everybody wants a flip of a switch and, hey, everything's fine again. But you're talking about human beings and, you know, intricate relationships. Things have to happen over time. I'm very confident because of the character of the people in our locker room, the history that we have together, that this will resolve and it will unfold. But, it's not going to happen with one statement.
Yeah, he's right. One game means nothing to them in the regular season. I mean, can we all take a step back? Like, clearly we all admit, dude, one game against the Rockets is meaningless. But all of this sideshow stuff, all of the, like, articles, everything, that, it does take an effect on the team. And it's a grind to go from October to July as the number one dog that everyone's trying to hunt. It's a grind. It's a long season. And I don't expect, when me and my brother would throw down, we didn't just like kiss and make up immediately. I was ready to kill him for weeks on end. I couldn't imagine like having to like sit in an airplane near him and like fake it. That's tough. It's just really, really tough. It's really hard. And I just, but again, this team, this is nothing new. They've been dealing with it since the beginning of this run.
This is the real NBA, by the way. What I've been dealing with the last 4 years is not the real NBA, where you have almost nothing but success and amazing players and talent and incredible atmosphere and vibe. And what we've been doing the last 4 years and the group that we've had has been an absolute dream. This is more reality where, you know, you just run into stuff that happens.
You know, he's right. I mean, my entire life, the Warriors were a dysfunctional disaster. Disaster. Do you want me to go through all the trades? Mitch Richmond for Billy Owens. Chris Webber. Gugliotta. Oh, and then let's flip him for, Donyell Marshall, who's garbage. And then let's trade Tim Hardaway for Ronnie Cicely. Oh, that sounds like a great deal. And then, hey, while we're at it, after, you know, Latrell Sprewell chokes out the 10th coach since Nelly, PJ Carlissimo, let's trade him for Chris Mills and John Starks. And then Latrell's going to go to the finals with the Knicks. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. Gilbert Arenas leaving the Warriors in free agency to go to the Washington Wizards. There's an Arenas rule, by the way, where if you're a second-round pick, now the team can extend more money to you. But that wasn't around when the Warriors lost him. And then the Wizards became the Warriors East, and they went to the playoffs with Larry Hughes and Jameson and Gilbert. Yeah, that hurt. But you know what? I hear a lot of people ripping Steve Kerr. And I got my own beefs with Steve Kerr. I love Steve Kerr. But no coach is perfect. But there are a lot of people that are criticizing him not taking that time out. And I understand where both sides are coming from. But this is what his job entails.
That's my job as head coach, and that's our staff's job. As a group, we have to take care of this stuff behind the scenes, and it's interesting because we have to do it in a fishbowl because there's so many people interested, and so we have to sort of, you know, do it in a subtle manner. We have to do it behind the scenes. We also have to, you know, talk a little bit about it publicly, but we can't share everything, and it requires some deft gymnastics.
Yeah, he's right. And part of this is that the Warriors themselves, you would think they would have built up some sort of callus and some self-awareness that everything you do is going to be magnified in this social media era. Every tweet, every Vine, every video, every athletic article, it's all just going to go to the masses, and it's going to go right to my phone all day, nonstop.
Life was a lot easier as a professional athlete 20 years ago than it is now. We were judged, but it was literally the morning paper, and if you wanted to avoid that, you had talk radio, I guess. You could, you know, there was still that, but you didn't have the constant judgment and criticism at your fingertips, and you didn't have the sort of social behavior that we've all grown accustomed to and developed, myself included, where we're always holding a phone, we're always in contact with people, and we're always knowing everything that's happening out there in the world. Such a different life that we live now, and I think for a professional athlete, it's dramatically tougher.
He's right. It really is. Every single move is documented. You know, did you guys see? Draymond clapped hands with KD walking to practice. I mean, it's like, come on, dude. Like, how staged was that photo? How ridiculously staged? I love both guys, but it's like, come on, you guys. Like, you don't got to fake the funk. You don't have to put out propaganda. Don't insult my intelligence with propaganda. I don't even care if you guys like each other. Just ball out on the court. Jeff Kent and Bonds hated each other. They fought in the dugout. Who cares? A-Rod and Jeter couldn't stand each other. But at the end of the day, they had a working relationship. There's a lot of people I work with I can't stand. And they probably can't stand me. And I don't blame them, you know? But you know what? The Warriors fighting through adversity, that's what every single team in the league has had to go through. They've been very lucky with their injury history, even though Steph's injury and obviously the Bogut and all that cost them a championship.
Dealing with this kind of stuff while you're injured, it's harder to get back to the continuity, you know, on the floor that you need. And it's all part of it. You know, every team goes through this. It just happens that over the last few years, we have not gone through much of it. We're prepared for it, and we'll deal with it.
They better be ready to deal with it, because when they arrived in Houston, we got a problem. Big time.
I think last night was a combination of we played a very good team that's rounding into form that, you know, took us to seven games last year, along with ball not going in, some bad energy. Just, you know, throw all those things together and it's not going to look great. So we've got to improve our energy. We've got to get better with our offensive execution, and we've got to move forward to the next game. And, you know, you learn from the last one, you try to get better for the next one.
And he's so right. You got to get better each and every day. I know the regular season is irrelevant. It means nothing. Only thing that matters is June and July. I get that. We all know that. Obviously, duh. Have you been watching? Did you just start tuning in, or have you been watching this team since the mid-80s like me? You know, but I'm interested to see how Kerr and Popovich, when they meet each other, what they're going to do, because that is the guy he idolizes and looks up to. That's his mentor.
So that's what I love about Pop. There's always a little perspective. There's always some humor, but always a little advice, too. He's the best. He's one of my best friends. Obviously, he's dealing with his team, and I'm dealing with mine. But in the end, we always compare notes and share thoughts, because we're in very unique positions and jobs, and they're not easy. So everyone in the coaching business sort of wants each other to do well, because we all know how hard it can be.
Yeah. Popovich avoided controversy for 20 years. 20 years. It's pretty incredible. And I think it speaks to the types of players they had in their system. But I also think it speaks to how everything has changed so dramatically since 1998. I mean, the scrutiny these guys are under, and the Spurs were never under that microscope. Even when they had David Robinson way back when, they were never covered like this Warrior team is. I mean, the entire Athletic, you know, app, the entire app is based around the Warrior coverage. There's like 17 guys that are just writing Warrior articles. We got them? All right, let's go to KC, Kenny Caraway, my man. He's got a radio station up in Sacramento. He is a diehard NBA fan. He knows the game inside and out. And KC isn't a Warrior fan, but I think he provides phenomenal perspective from outside the Warrior bubble that we live in. Casey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Butch. What's good with you, big bro?
I'm doing really good. You know, we're dealing with a very complicated situation here, and I'm very interested in your opinion. You're watching the game the other night. It's the Clippers. It's the Warriors. Everybody on Twitter's going bonkers about it. How did you read the on-the-court interaction in the final minutes of that game?
You know, I mean, nothing stood out until that play, and then it kind of all made sense. Obviously, I looked at the situation, and at first, I'm like, why did Draymond steal the – he stole the rebound from Kevin Durant. You know, it just came running in there, stealing the rebound away, and Draymond goes up and does what he does. KD's asking for the ball. Initially, and I'm still believing, like, yeah, get the ball to Kevin Durant. Let him do what he does. But I understand, you know, the argument that some people have said about, you know, that's not necessarily Warrior ball. Even in a close situation like that, Draymond is kind of doing what he normally does, you know, in those situations, dribble the ball, look up the court, see if anything develops. But I completely understood where KD was coming from. I agreed with him. Give him the basketball, let him go to work. Like I said, I know a lot of Warrior fans are like, oh, that's not how we play the game. But sometimes you get the ball to the best player on the court and let him do what he did. What did Doug Collins say that one time about Michael Jordan? He's like, yeah, get the ball to Michael and everybody gets the bleep out of the way. Sometimes that's what you got to do, okay?
You're right. You're right. We got Kenny Caraway from 97.5 KDEE in Sacramento. Kenny, let's take a step back, because when we look at this team, we have to look at through the lens of an all-time great team. And Warrior fans are so quick to anoint Draymond Green because, you know, we're connected to him. He's been a Warrior since day one. But I feel like a lot of the things, the shenanigans, the antics, the stuff he's pulled, we have looked the other way. How does the rest of the NBA and how do you view Draymond Green as a whole?
Oh, this is so complicated. I've been having these same discussions every NBA season for like the last four or five years. We've gotten into it, me and you. I've talked to other people about Draymond. And here's how I look at him. I think he is a good player. I think he's a unique player. When he was in his prime, I don't think he's in his prime anymore. That's the other thing. But when he was in his prime, he was a force defensively. I marveled at how he was a rock when somebody would try to get him on the block. Like, you could not post him up. You couldn't move an inch. I literally marveled at this stuff. I thought it was phenomenal. He's a great playmaker for the power forward position as far as, like, making decisions, making passes. I marvel at that aspect. I do, however, think he's a bit overrated. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, he's top 10, top 15 player in the league. You know, the heart and soul is used a lot when it comes to this Warriors. They can't win without Draymond. Let's just calm down, okay? They can't win without Steph Curry.
Thank you.
Now, I've made the argument, and people have looked at me crazy, and I don't mean this as any disrespect, because, once again, I think Draymond is a good player. But if you switch Draymond out for Al Horford, I don't think there's a huge drop-off, if any at all. Al Horford's probably a better offensive player. He's an okay passer. He's a damn good defender. I don't think there's a huge drop-off, but if you would ask anybody if Al Horford is a top 10 player in the league, they will look at you like you're crazy. So, I mean, like I said, I'm on the outside. I look at it a little different. This is a basketball thing. I don't really look at it as my guy. And his whole antics and everything, I understand how that goes because I'm a Kings fan. I was a huge DeMarcus Cousins fan. So I understand, you know, the conundrum that you get in rooting for a guy like that. I can get it. But on the outside, there's a lot that comes with Draymond, good and bad.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. We got Kenny Caraway, KC in Sacramento. He's the host of 97.5 KDEE in Sacramento. Kenny, when we look at Kevin Durant and the way he was undressed by Draymond, and now all of the reports are coming out, and they're saying, oh, Draymond said this specific statement, you know, and that specific statement, and I'm not going to repeat it because some of them are curse words on the air. But right. When we look at, like, the NBA, take a step back, not from a Warrior fan perspective, because they're viewing Kevin Durant as an outsider. Where is Kevin Durant on the pecking order of NBA superstars all time? and Draymond Green. And have you ever seen anyone do that to a teammate and someone as accomplished as Kevin Durant?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that before. And I tweeted out last night after, you know, I saw more of the in-depth stuff. And I'm kind of joking a little bit, but I think you get where I'm coming from. This was like if Stacey King went all out on Scottie Pippen. Everybody would be like, are you out of your mind? Do you know who you're talking about? Like Draymond, you know, the quote is, you know, he's on there talking about who the blank do you think you're talking to? No, Draymond, who do you think you're talking to? Okay, like, this is Kevin Durant. This is one of the top five players I've ever seen in my lifetime. This is, when it's all said and done, he has the possibility to be a top 10, top five player of all time. And you're just going to berate this guy and call him out of his name and say this and that. It was mind-boggling to see that go down in that way. Absolutely mind-boggling. So I ain't seen nothing like that, Butch, you know, that to answer your question. I had never seen a situation with those kind of components go down like that.
Okay, we got Kenny Caraway, 97.5 KDEE in Sacramento. One of my closest homies. I love you. Love you, Casey. I really do.
Yeah, man.
If you're the Warriors, if you're Joe Lacob, what do you do? How do you manage this situation? And if push came to shove, who are you picking? Durant or Draymond Green?
That's a no-brainer. I'm going Kevin Durant without a shadow of a doubt. And here's the thing that I can look at, because I'm not as close to the situation. I understand how Warrior fans may not want to do this or may not be like, no, I'm just going to go. I was listening to Papa earlier today, mm-hmm. and just the thought of trading Draymond Green was like, no, I'd never do that. I'm never trading him. And here's the reality of the situation. Draymond Green is not the player he was 2 years ago, let alone if he wants a five-year deal. You know what I mean? And there's an aura about Draymond that doesn't fit who he actually is right now, whether it's because of the shoulder injury in the past, he's got the toe right now, whatever the case may be, declining play. Just, he plays so hard and so physical. You know what I mean? Like, he's bound to break down. I talked to you about it. It's kind of like in football, how we always felt about the Legion of Boom in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're good, but they play so physical, so physical. They're human beings. They're going to break down and fall apart. And I feel that way about Draymond. And I look at it like this. Not right now. I don't think you do it during the season. But I would really, if I was Lacob and Myers, I would really sit down, regardless of what KD does. I this has nothing to do with KD. Regardless of what he does, I would really sit down and think about trying to pull a heist on some team that could be thirsty and could be looking at the aura of Draymond Green instead of what he actually is. And try and pull a heist and look to trade Draymond in this offseason. I think you want to sell high and do the old Bill Walsh, get rid maybe a year too early as opposed to 2 or 3 years too late. That's the way I would look at it.
You're hitting the nail on the head here. Kenny Caraway, 97.5 KDEE in Sacramento. I want to dissect kind of the Warrior bench. And I think there's this, like, we've knighted Andre Iguodala, and he could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. And nothing matters because the four games he plays in the playoffs are the only thing that matters. I'm looking at the money that he held out for. I'm serious, Casey. This guy had to have the full bag. Not the little bag. Not a compromise. The full bag. He's getting paid $16 million this year. And I love Sean Livingston, but he's getting another $8.5 million. And I feel like this might be his final season in the NBA. Is it fair for me to say, I'm not getting any production from those two guys, and I don't really care about the playoffs because I kind of need them for the regular season so I can get the right seeding? Am I too critical?
No, you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on with those guys. What they brought, I mean, they're still champions. I don't want to speak like it's a past thing, but what they definitely brought, you know, those first 3 or 4 years of the run is invaluable. I mean, Andre Iguodala, absolutely class personified, a leader out there. It was all there. And maybe it's one of those things where they paid him for some of the stuff he did in the past. But when you look at it right now, and even last year, I mean, I felt like they got away with it last year. You know, I'm one of the believers of if Chris Paul's hamstring doesn't explode, I think the Rockets win that series. And I feel like the Warriors got away with declining bench play last year. And it's, the chickens is kind of coming to roost this year, because when you got Iguodala out there, what is this, 2 weeks in, he's getting iced up all on his legs already. You know, we're not even out of November, and he's iced up all the way down. John Livingston, like you said, he's looking at the end of his career. And then you got to rely on a guy like McKinney, you know, and thank God for Looney.
Yes.
Looney has been phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. I have my reservations about him when he first came into the league. He's been phenomenal, so thank God for him. If he wasn't playing well, where would this bench be? Jarebko's hit and miss. I mean, there's a lot of holes in there, and it's kind of depends on the night. And that's a dangerous game to play when you get into, you know, the playoffs and you're playing against teams, you know, like the Houston Rockets you saw last night. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Hey, Kenny Caraway, I'm up against it real quick. Give me 30 seconds on your Sacramento Kings, and I hope everybody up in Sacramento is safe with these fires, the smoke and everything. I seen you with the mask on your video. Give the people in the Bay Area 30 seconds on the Kings, because they're coming.
They are coming. I'm telling you that right now. Now, coming, it could be 2 or 3 years. I don't know. I'm not saying it's next month, but they're coming. De'Aaron Fox is the leader we've all wanted for the past 10 years. He's the leader we wanted Boogie to be. All right, De'Aaron Fox is that guy. All right, he put up another stellar game tonight, 23 points, 10 assists, unfortunately in the loss. But, you know, these are a bunch of kids. You know, De'Aaron Fox is 20 years old. He's 20 years old. He's averaging 19 points and like 8 assists. He's the leader. They're about one or two pieces away from really thinking about being some type of playoff team. But we are so over the moon excited right now for what they got going on. Buddy Hield's playing great. Willie Cauley-Stein's doing great. Marvin Bagley, I think he's going to be an all-star in 3 years. You could book it right now. In 3 years, Marvin Bagley is going to be an all-star. Don't pay attention to what the box scores are saying right now. I'm looking at the guy's game. So they got those guys going, and it's going to be about 2 years. I think maybe next year they contend for a playoff spot. But we're over the moon right now in Sacramento. We are waiting for that I-80 series, okay? I don't care if it's one birthday. We're waiting for that 80 series, all right? Warriors.
I love it.
It's got to happen at some point. It's got to.
I love
it. We're going to sit down and watch it together, bro.
I love it, KC. My man, Kenny Caraway. I am KC up in Sacramento. Oh, I love it. 97.5 KDEE. You can check him out all the time up there. He's got all the Niners, Kings, San Francisco Giants content. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it, KC. And again, everybody up in Sacramento, I hope you guys are doing well. It's an extension of the Bay Area at this point because of the fires, because of all the different connections we've got. KC, you come on every time, bro.
We cousins out here. The Bay and Sacramento, we cousins.
Bro. Thank you. I got cousins up there, man. Thank you, KC. Love you, buddy.
You take care. Man, take care.
Sounds good. All right. When we get back on the other side, we're going to continue the Draymond conversation. David Martinez, I see you. Jim and El Cerrito, I see you as well. 95.7 The Game. It's the Butcher Shop.
Now back to the Butcher Shop on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe Shasky.
It's the Butcher Shop. It's Friday night. We got Too Short bumping. Whew. Man, speaking of cooking, the Warriors, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Dilemma. Oh, my God. The sky is falling. I mean, honestly, is this going to derail the season? I don't think so. I'm worried. I don't think so. I want to be reasonable and logical and take a step back, but it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. We're going to go to the phone lines here, 888-957-9570. And we got Joe Fan at the bottom of the next hour. We're going to talk 49ers at the top of the hour. So I know people are fatigued by the Warrior talk, but this is the greatest team this area has ever seen. So we're going to stick in. We're going to settle in. I'm going to dig into the batter's box here. What can the Warriors do to remedy this situation? Is a championship the only thing that can help? Do people live in fear of Draymond Green? Does the coaching staff live in fear of Draymond Green? A lot of questions, and this season's going to give me answers. Dave and Martinez, step right up, no waiting. Give me your Draymond opinions.
Well, hey, man, thanks for having me on board. Got my cleaver sharpened up, ready to step up to the cutting board and chop shop with you, baby.
Love it.
You got it. Okay, I think that we can agree that this whole KD Draymond has just been chopped up so badly, we can categorize it in one of two ways, either chum or ground beef, right?
Yes, love it.
Okay, all right. So what? After getting metaphorical here real quick, let's put it into a perspective where I don't think a lot of people's really touched up on yet. How many consecutive championships? I'm not talking playoffs. I'm talking how many consecutive championships have the Warriors been through already, right? Mm-hmm. And when you add that up to a long-term, bigger picture, you're not really getting as much time to hit the reset button as most of the other teams in the NBA are getting, or any team in any league for that matter, right?
Exactly.
So I think that a situation that we're seeing here was bound to happen sooner or later. There's no doubt in my mind that we give this maybe about two or three more games, we're going to be right back on track. This is pretty much going to be under the rug and forgotten about almost as badly as Guru's matchup.
Dave and Martinez, give that guy a round of applause. That was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. A couple things. A, the joke on Guru at the end. I mean, I'm all here for the Guru jokes. Goo is my guy. Secondly, he makes some great, nuanced, reasonable deductions. The Warriors have been playing longer into the calendar than any other team in the NBA, not just for 1 year, not just for 2 years, for four straight seasons. It's a lot of time together with the same people. I mean, when me and my wife are in the same room for a long time, she's ready to kill me. Like, I'm talking like 15 minutes, you know? So, like, I can get it, you know? And let's be real. Draymond is, he's a very domineering personality. Would we agree? I think so. And Kevin Durant is quirky. And I think that's putting it nicely. He's very quirky. I would say soft, insecure, very worried about what other people think, unsure of his own status. I think there's a lot of things you can say when you're describing Kevin Durant. That doesn't mean he's not a brilliant basketball player. That doesn't mean Draymond's not an all-time warrior. But can they come together? Can Steph come back healthy? Can they get anything out of Iguodala? Can they figure this thing out? Yes, they can get back on track. I want them to win the championship. I want it to be kumbaya. I want everybody to be at the campfire, at the parade in July, drinking Hennessy out of the fans in the fan section like Jordan Bell. And then maybe Guru can maybe get a bucket on him because Jordan Bell will be so plastered from the Hennessy, from the fans, that he might be able to get one up on him. But I do think it's fair to be worried, and I also think it's fair to say, let's see how it plays itself out. And I do think these guys being around each other, like David Martinez pointed out, they're together so much and have been more than any other organization in pro sports because of how long their run has been and how deep their run has been. And then Dre and Durant played on that Olympic team together, too. So they had even more time together. Let me get Scott, the great Scott. Great Scott! What is this, Back to the Future? In San Jose. Great Scott! In San Jose, give it to me.
Oh, yeah, you know what's going to happen. It's Draymond versus KD breaking up like the Mega Powers did with Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan in 1988-89. 1 year, it takes them so much time. That's what's going on. Thinking. Ladies and gents, yeah.
Is that all you got? Or you got more material? Because this is a limited fake. I like it. But do you have a second act? No.
I don't know, man. I got to think about it.
Get this hack off the air. This guy. That is an inside joke right there. We can laugh. But the people that are listening that have no clue what's going on here, they're like, what the? That was a Macho Man, Randy Savage, Hulkamania. I guess it would be an ode? An ode to? It's not Bash at the Beach. That was WCW, but I don't know if necessarily, was that Halloween Havoc? I'm an old school wrestling head, all right? Old school wrestling head. So if you know, 95795 text line, the Chilton Auto Body text line, hit us up and let us know. That was pretty funny, though. I got to say, if you're going to infiltrate behind the scenes here at the Butcher Shop morning show, you better come correct. You better come correct, or you're getting cut off.
But it's all good. Where do the Warriors go from here? I mean, what are they going to do? Win another championship? And that's the great elixir? The great deodorant? Pray Steph Curry and Aisha treat everybody to international smoke? Everybody sits down and they break bread together? I don't know. I don't know. I'm worried, though. And I'm very worried about the physical toll on top of the emotional distress that this team has. The physical toll specifically from Draymond Green. The shoulder is a very serious, serious concern for me. When you play basketball, you have to raise your arms to shoot. You have to raise your arm to make passes. Raise your arm defensively at the rim. When you're banging with people that are between 50 and 100 pounds heavier than you, at some point you hit a wall. In the NFL, you see a lot of linebackers, a lot of running backs, significantly smaller than the people they're colliding with. And eventually it takes its toll. Some people are built like gladiators, Takeo Spikes. That can play till he's 40. You know, Junior Seau. But some people diminish quickly. You know, Patrick Willis was a gladiator for this 49er team. And eventually, they hit the wall. His foot, he had the turf toe, he had the ankle, the plantar fasciitis, and he was done. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen with Draymond. I'm just saying I'm a little concerned. That's all. And I love Dre. I love Dre. I love Dre. He's one of my favorites of all time. There's no doubt about it. And here goes the Chilton Auto Body text line 408. Was it maybe Starcade or WCW NWO sold out? Those are some great times. We need a Mean Gene Okerlund sound. We need a Mean Gene Okerlund sound coming up soon. While I got 3 minutes here, we are going to talk about Tiger and Phil tonight. We got some Tiger talk because they're a big matchup next week. 10 years late, but big matchup. And we got 49ers coming up in a second. But I am worried about the Warriors. And I'm worried about the injuries, Draymond. But this Steph injury, what is it? Is it a groin? They say abductor, adductor. I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. I get confused by these. Is it a sports hernia? Is it something that's going to linger? Is it something that he's going to look good, think he's okay, kind of work his way back, and then a month from now re-aggravate it? I don't know. I don't know. I am a little concerned, and I think it's fair to be concerned. But while still knowing and taking a step back and saying they're still the favorite, they still could win it all, but you got this tornado on the horizon that at some point needs to be dealt with. And that's Draymond, Kevin Durant, how Steph Curry feels. Has anybody on these airwaves, has anybody answered, what does Steph Curry think about all this? Because that's the only guy who's inked up long term. That's the guy who stirs the pot, who is the pot, who is the flame underneath the pot to get the water boiling. He's everything. I'm curious what he thinks. I got a lot of questions, and we don't have a lot of answers. So I'm hoping you guys can come and bring some answers and tell me how you're feeling, Warrior fans. Am I crazy? Is this team sick of Draymond Green? Is enough enough? I just don't know. I don't know where this team is psychologically. I don't know where they are physically. Is it the beginning of the end? Probably not. But this is a big question mark. It's a fork in the road. It definitely is. I mean, my producer, Alon, brought up a great point. Is this the 2003-2004 Lakers where they felt invincible? They started to see some cracks in the armor, and then they go out and get annihilated by the Pistons in the finals. And everyone, like, with perspective, looks back at it and goes, oh, yeah, I could see that coming. I could see Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton and Tayshaun Prince and Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace take down that old Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal team. I don't know. Let's get legal, though. Let's get legal. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1, KGMZ
San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. That's right, we are the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. I think he's a concerned Warrior fan as well. Rob in San Bruno, step right up, no waiting.
Yeah, I think people are missing a point here. I don't think it's not Dre versus KD. I think it's the team versus KD. What I think is, I think Dre speaks for Clay and Curry. Clay and Curry not gonna say nothing. They're not the type of guys. They're not gonna say nothing. But when Draymond said we won without, he didn't say I. He said we. So I think it's more towards Kevin Durant. It's him not committing for this team. Because if you look at what Draymond, Clay, and Curry have said, they're about championships. And when championships, everybody committed. They're committed. They don't know if KD's committed. So I think Dre spoke for the team. It just didn't start. It's been happening, but it just came out that way. And I think Dre's speaking for the majority. They need Kevin Durant to commit. If he's not commit, they need to trade him because he's going to mess up the locker room.
Rob, let me ask you a question because I know you've called before. I know you know your stuff. And I'm just curious. Is it fair for Draymond to call him out on his impending free agency? Like, is it truly, if we take a step back, you tell me. I don't know. I'm asking you out loud because I don't know if it's fair or not. Is it fair to talk about someone else's business like that?
No, it's not fair, but you got to realize it's a team game. So
that's
true. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money involved in this. And you got to realize they're about championships. Draymond was raised up on championships in Golden State. They're about winning. If you go back to the Kobe and Shaq thing, Kobe didn't respect Shaq because he wasn't committed to it. Go back to when – I'll give you something else. Go back to when Scottie played for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
What did he call Barkley? A fat, lazy beat that would never win a championship because he's lazy. So you got to understand that Clay and Dre and Steph, they come from an era to where they won championships.